Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
As you well know, Jesus often taught using parables, and a parable is what we just read. Generally speaking, a parable is one way that he helps us to understand heavenly things by using things we already know something about, like oil and lamps, mustard seeds, rebellious sons, or in this case, slaves, money, investments, and a master. Jesus helps us to understand something that we don't understand very much about, namely, God. I just made the statement that we don't know very much about God. The thing is, maybe we think that we do, and that's why it went so badly with the third slave. He didn't understand what he was to do with what he had been given, nor did he understand properly the one who gave it. There were three slaves, each given a very large sum of money. What our Bible calls a talent was about a year's salary for a day laborer. Only these three were slaves. They had nothing. So think about what it must have been like to hold all that money. To have had a full year's salary all at once would have been intoxicating to these who would have worked their whole lives without receiving a penny. Just think about it. Have you ever been to one of those old plantations, now a museum? You go through the big house, and maybe there's furniture and candelabra. Maybe you see what the master and his families would have had, toys in the nursery, glass mirrors, polished doorknobs. But then you go out to where the slaves would have lived. There are cabins there with dirt floors, maybe a table, a chair, maybe a pallet in the corner. An archaeologist may have excavated the area to find what's been left by the people who once lived there. And all this archaeologist is going to find is something like a button, a clay pipe, an old broken glass bottle. Can you imagine what it would feel like if all you owned in the whole wide world was a glass bottle, but then you're given a full year's wages times two, or maybe even times five? What do you do with all that money? What do you do with anything so huge that comes into your possession? Maybe you just try to hold on to it. Sometimes we misjudge the master if we think that what he wants is for us to protect, guard, or control what we've been given, especially these big, huge things, these big life-changing things. For if we hold them too tightly, we may reduce and tarnish them like dogs who chew up children's homework. We misunderstand the value of what's in between our teeth. We're now at the end of a hard-fought and much-anticipated election cycle. Some say that the best thing for democracy right now is that those who lost let go to congratulate those who won, while others question the integrity of the ballot. The question is, at what cost will you fight to hold on? According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's editorial board, at least a couple politicians will push this issue in our state without any real evidence, to the point of breaking our trust in the electoral process. Would it really be winning if they held on to their office or anyone else's in questioning the state of American democracy? But sometimes we hold on so tightly that we damage what we have been entrusted with. So back to the parable. Does the master entrust these three slaves with such huge gifts that he might find out how each might maintain control over them? It doesn't seem so. In fact, I believe the parable teaches us that the master desires we do something much bigger than that. I could begin to imagine what that might be as I read the best quote in the Marietta paper last Wednesday. Around Town is now my favorite article in the Marietta Daily Journal. For one reason, there I often get to read about our very own Kelly Gambrill, who serves on the county commission. But for another reason, in this short article, I can also learn about what all is happening in local politics. But it was Roy Barnes, quoted in Around Town last Wednesday, who inspired me. I assume that you know Roy Barnes. He's a Methodist, but that's okay. What struck me so much about what he said last Wednesday is how he talked about how important it was for him to do what was best, not for his party, but for our country, when he served as the state Senate floor leader before being elected governor. Looking back to that time when the Republican majority was growing in our county, he said, "One of the great things about Cobb County is that even when the Democrats and Republicans were changing from Democrats to Republicans, there was one thing that we all held in common. If it affected Cobb County and was good for Cobb County, all of us were going to support it, whether it was Democratic or Republican." He talked about building Barrett Parkway and the East-West Connector. Can you even imagine if those weren't there? Rather than take credit for these great road building projects which opened up our county to all kinds of business and new residents, he said it was all of us working together that did it. But once Joe Mack Wilson, a Republican, told Barnes, who is a Democrat, "Now you realize what all this is doing, it's just going to bring more Republicans into this county." And Barnes responded, "Yes, that's probably true, but Joe, we've got to do it. We're going to do what's best for Cobb County regardless." And that's it, isn't it? If you're going to grow, if you're going to prosper, you've got to do what's best rather than just hold on to what you have. For sometimes fighting to maintain what you have is the best way to lose it. That none of them lost it is really something. We don't know what the master would have done had one of those slaves lost all his money. What we do know is that the one who was given five took his talents and made five more. The one who was given two took his talents and made two more. The one who was given one took his talent and buried it in the ground. What do you see here? Maybe you see two whom you'd like to hire as your new wealth advisors. On the other hand, maybe you see that two were willing to take a risk with money that wasn't theirs, while the third was cautious and conservative. Or maybe you see that two acted purely out of love for their master with little concern to whether or not they disappoint him, while the third acted purely out of fear. Has fear ever played such a role in your life? You don't want to lose, so you hold on too tightly. You don't want to disappoint anyone, so you try to make everyone happy, and then you wind up disappointing everyone. There are bosses and fathers who don't really value creativity or innovation. They just don't want mistakes. There is this kind of person out there in the world who doesn't get too excited about how well you've done something, but who gets terribly angry when you make a mess. There's the mother who can't stand the thought of a broken plate, but doesn't put all that much thought into what goes on it or to the person it sits in front of. I myself grew up in a house where there wasn't a flathead screwdriver around, my father would just grab a butter knife to use that from the silverware drawer. Or if we were having guests over and needed more place settings, my mom would send us out to the sandbox of the backyard to find all the missing spoons. But not every household is like that. In some kitchens, children start crying as soon as a glass slips out of their fingers because they know that making a mess is cause for condemnation. I once worked for a boss like that. She never thanked me. She never encouraged me. I would work really hard for a week or two and would walk around like a puppy dog hoping for a treat, a compliment, or an attaboy, but that never came. I was only ever called into this boss's office when something went wrong. It's hard to be innovative or creative in an environment like that one. In fact, it's hard to do much of anything risky if you are afraid of a person who might become disappointed and could cause you pain. And so the third slave explains himself. Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. What I love is how the master responds. You knew, did you? You knew, did you? You knew, did you? You knew, did you, that I am a harsh man who reaps where I did not sow and gathers where I did not scatter. You knew that I would punish you if you messed up. You knew that I am harsh and ungenerous. Where did you get that idea? From the year's wages that I just handed over to you for no reason? What we have here in this parable is a failure to communicate. Because this slave is sure that he knows the master while being completely and utterly wrong. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever misjudged the master? Now, I do that all the time. I'll give you an example. You might know this, but we have the most incredible food distribution ministry. The school board recognized our church at their meeting last week. Reverend Cassie Waits and Amy Bush were there to be recognized and thanked. Amy has been running a tight ship, organizing a great team of volunteers, and even driving a great big refrigeration truck that holds all our milk and chicken while we give it out. The need for these things is great. And right now, people are driving here to our church parking lot from the Six Flags area because there are so few places who are able to distribute food during this pandemic, but there is so much need for it. Every Monday, enough food for 1,500 meals is dropped off at the church from the Atlanta Food Bank. Can you imagine what 1,500 meals worth of spaghetti looks like? And I've told you several times that we have distributed more than 200,000 pounds of food, which is a hard sum to quantify. The better visual is a line of cars that fills up our main parking lot, then circles the big parking lot across the tracks. We provide several days' worth to 250 families every Monday. We're talking about hundreds of cars. Yet one volunteer, Fran Brailsford, knows all their faces and remembers so many of their names. I was standing there with Fran and Andrea Friend. Andrea has to watch traffic so that she can send cars down Kennesaw Avenue from our north parking lot into our main parking lot without stopping the flow of traffic. It's quite a process, and it's a lot of cars. So I assumed that when a neighbor of ours who lives right by our church called to talk about food distribution, he was calling to ask me why it was taking him so long to get home from work and if I could do anything about all these cars coming for food backing up traffic. Now, why would I assume that? I assume that because when people call me, often I assume that they're calling me because they're upset. When the principal calls you into her office, you don't assume that you're going there to receive a lollipop. And likewise, sometimes people call me, and if they say, "Joe, I need to talk to you about something," my first impulse is to think that it's very bad. Only when I returned this wonderful neighbor's phone call, he told me that he'd like to donate $7,500 to feed even more people than we're feeding already. Now, why do we misjudge each other? Why do we misjudge the Master who encourages us again and again to step out in love? Sometimes what keeps us from being a blessing in this world is fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of risk, fear of really living out our call to love our neighbor as ourselves. But what if we all adopted this mentality from our first scripture lesson? God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't misjudge the Master. Don't mistake his intention. Don't fail to see his hand at work. Don't fail to hear his voice. For we are not destined for wrath, but salvation. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.